Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Without further ado, let's bring in Manish Mehta, who covers the Jets. And Manish, thanks for listening to the program. I appreciate it. Your thoughts on the reports right now that Mike Maccagnan is dead man walking?
Well, yeah, I did get in my car. I'm on my way to the facility, Anita, and I heard you talking about Mike Maccagnan's future. And I tweeted this out yesterday. Mike Maccagnan is not getting fired. I know that it's been circulating over the last, 24 hours or so. Unless I've been misled inside the organization, I've been told, in no uncertain terms that Mike Maccagnan is going to be the general manager. And even if you think about it logically, this is a guy who, if the team wanted to part ways with, they could have easily done so when they fired Todd Bowles. Instead, he was involved in the head coaching process. He and Christopher Johnson made the decision. This was not a unilateral ownership decision. Maccagnan, had really, I don't want to say most of the say, but a significant portion of the say in who was going to ultimately be the head coach. So ownership gave him the authority to, for all intents and purposes, recommend the head coach. They gave him the authority to spend $100+ million in free agency in getting two Pro Bowl players in C.J. Mosley and Le'Veon Bell, in addition to other guys. And they've really had him be the engine of this draft. So that being said, they are not going to fire the person who has made all of these key decisions over the past 4 months after the draft. So that is 100% false. And again, unless I was misled, Mike Maccagnan is going to be the general manager in 2019.
Manish Mehta joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, has his finger on the pulse of this organization better than most. So then explain, where is this coming from? Why is this rumor circulating? It's just not on one organization. There are a number of The Athletic, Michael Lombardi, who's a very dear friend of mine, who is very connected still into the league, CBSSports.com. Why are there so many outlets reporting that this is going to happen then, Manish?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can tell you, just being a reporter for the last 20 years, I know how rumors I don't necessarily know how they start, but I know how they spread. A lot of the times it's people hopping on the bandwagon, and I'm sure people have their contacts and their sources, but and a lot of times, frankly, it's one person who is starting a rumor to multiple people. But again, unless you are talking to people inside the building who have complete knowledge of what the decision-making process is, it's really, that information is not really worth much. And again, unless I've been misled by people inside the building, this general manager is not getting fired after the draft. That's all I can say. What I will say is, I know you touched on this a moment ago about sensitive information and keeping people aboard before ultimately making changes after the draft. That's absolutely true. Not just the Jets, for every organization. That's kind of why you've seen Mike Mayock, for example, hold on to his scouts and some of his personnel people until the draft is over, and then ultimately he'll make some changes. That's par for the course in the NFL calendar. Typically, scouts have contracts that run May to May, summer to summer, essentially. It's not really calendar year to calendar year. So, I'm talking specifically about the general manager, though. It's unusual, highly unusual, for a general manager to be fired after the draft. It's not unprecedented, because we saw a few years ago Doug Whaley and the Bills parted ways after the draft. But again, that's a highly unusual circumstance. And if the Jets wanted to move on from Mike Maccagnan, they clearly could have done that after the season when they fired Todd Bowles. The other element to this story, or maybe it's a different story, is that any kind of potential rift between Mike Maccagnan and Adam Gase, that's not true as well. I know that for a fact, these two guys have been working together for 4 months now? And my understanding is that, they're trying to feel each other out. Has there been any kind of blow up? No, there hasn't. And I can tell you, if there was, I would know about it, because I reported in December that Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles' relationship had frayed through the years. But I can tell you, in this early stage of Adam Gase and Mike McCagnan's relationship, what has been portrayed over the last 24 hours by some people is inaccurate.
Really quick before I let you go, Manish, I know you're on your way to the facility right now. Number one, was there any discussion that they were going to draft Ed Oliver? Was Ed Oliver at the top of their board with Williams?
But the top of their board was Nick Bosa. That's the player they were going to draft. That's the player they also were 99.99% sure was not going to be available because they knew that the 49ers were going to draft him. Ed Oliver is a player that had strong support in the building. Anybody who tells you otherwise is getting bad information. That being said, the Jets wanted to trade down. They wanted to trade down a handful of spots. They entertained double-digit spots. Ultimately, when they were on the clock, and I reported this after the draft, when they were on the clock, they discussed, they had conversations with the Bills and the Raiders. They were never really serious. They were never really close. I know in the run-up to the draft, there was some chatter about the Bills and the Jets having a deal in place, the parameters in place, if Quinn and Williams were on the board. That's not true at all. Did they have discussions? Yes. Did it ever become serious? No. And again, when Mike Maccagnan was on the clock, he did speak to the Bills, and nothing was close. And ultimately, they stood pat. Now, if they moved down, I fully believe that Ed Oliver and Jonah Williams, the offensive lineman from Alabama, would have been in play.
Fantastic. Great stuff. Thank you so much for texting me. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I appreciate it. And thank you for your insight. Enjoy your Saturday afternoon, Manish.
Thanks, Anita. I appreciate it.
You got it. Manish Mehta.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.